Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? And welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can get more tips, strategies, and free downloads by going to my website at theroofershow.com. Got a great interview today with Kyle Hunt, and Kyle is a business coach for remodelers and the owner of Remodel Your Marketing. Kyle offers one-on-one coaching on the topics of marketing, your sales process, and helping you understand and improve your business financials. And I know this guy knows what he's talking about, and he is a great business coach because, in fact, he is my business coach. And I've been working with Kyle on a couple of businesses that I have. And we've been working together for, last 6 months or so. But I've known Kyle for a couple of years. He is a member of a mastermind group that I'm involved with, and I've talked about that before. We've got a group of 10 of us, and we are business consultants and coaches for contractors. And we meet online once a month and talk about how we're helping our contractors improve their businesses. Recently, Kyle did a webinar for Clear Estimates, and this was called Turn More of Your Leads into Paying Projects and Improving Your Sales Process. And he has some great step-by-step tips on how to do that. And with the easiest way to generate more revenue is to increase your close rate. And that's what we're going to talk about. But it was a little long, so I thought I'd break it up into two parts. So this week, we're going to get into that initial phone call, and what do you do to make that great first impression with your prospect? And in the second part, we're going to get into lead tracking, the sales pipeline, and the best way to follow up, build a system and a process for doing that. So let's get into our interview with Kyle Hunt from Remodel Your Marketing. Kyle, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
I saw your webinar with Clear Estimates on how to turn more of your roofing leads into paying projects. Great stuff, but a little long. So I thought I would split this show up into two episodes, if that works with you.
That works for me. What are you saying? The people listening to this don't have all the time in the world on their hands and they can listen to us talk and talk and talk for 2 hours? They don't have that time?
Well, I've been told I kind of drag things out, and if you ever have any trouble sleeping at night, just put my podcast on. It'll put you right out. So I thought breaking it up into two episodes, we'd keep our audience riveted.
My wife and I just finished watching the show. It's called Poldark, and we've been watching it pretty consistently, like one episode a night, and we're out of the show. We're done with the shows now. And she's like, I just need to listen to something that'll make me fall asleep. And do you know there's actually podcasts that are created just for that purpose? So I would say The Roofer Show is not one of those. I think you're just being funny. But if you legitimately have that need, they're out there.
Yeah, they've got a podcast for everything now. It is just taken off. But I know you got your own podcast called Remodelers on the Rise, and you give out some great marketing information for remodelers, but this is for all contractors. You've got some great stuff on that show. So listeners, make sure you check that out. But Kyle, how did you get into podcasting?
Well, I'll answer that question after I just add two more things to that podcasting topic. One is, the reason it's exploding so much, I was actually, if anybody follows Gary Vaynerchuk, I had the opportunity to go to this Vayner Media 4D day in New York City a couple weeks ago and just learned a ton. And this whole podcast and voice thing is going to continue to erupt in the coming years. It's easy for us to consume. We can be working out. We can be doing work and listening to it in the background. We can be driving. There's just a lot of opportunities to listen to it. And the reason I wanted to add that is I think it's interesting as a roofer, as a remodeler, as a contractor, what would it look like for you to create a podcast? Who would you target that to? What would you talk about? I think I'm starting to see some contractors or modelers go down this road of creating the Grand Rapids Home Show, where we educate you on all things home related, that type of thing. So I think it's interesting to think about for everybody listening to this. The way I got involved in it is there was a gentleman, it was back 4 years ago, who reached out and said, I want to do a podcast. We've gotten to know each other. His name's Ryan Paul Adams. And he said, why don't we tag team this? And the two of us will interview remodelers. And we got everything set up. We did it. We cranked out 14 or 15 episodes. He got busy. I got busy. And we kind of let it stall out. He's since kind of moved on from kind of the coaching of remodelers. And it was about a year and a half ago or so, I said, you know what? Podcasting is picking up. I'm watching my own behavior where I'm listening to more and more podcasts. And I said, I got to dust this thing off and get it back up and rolling. And I really enjoy teaching. I really enjoy coaching. I'm passionate about it. And I've just made it a commitment. I think in all of our businesses, we have a myriad of ways to market our business, where we're going to spend our time working on our business. And for me, podcasting just became a really wise decision for my business. And I just enjoy doing it.
Well, why don't you give us a little background about yourself, what you do, and who you do it for?
Yeah, so I'm up here in Michigan, born and raised here in Michigan, and started my business. I was working for a remodeler. It was a little over 11 years ago now. I had worked for them out of college and for about 4 or 5 years after college, and was handling their marketing, overall marketing, all of their advertising. They had a bath and kitchen showroom, plumbing and heating and cooling service departments. And I turned into managing their bath and kitchen showroom, the four designers, got involved in the financial side of the business and understanding P&L reports and job costing and markup and analyzing all of that. And it was about 11 years ago, I turned to my wife, Sarah, and I said, honey, you're a stay-at-home mama. We got one kid, another one on the way. It's a crappy economy here in Michigan. Not a lot of money in the bank to fall back on, but I want to quit this job I have and start my own business. And of course, she just said, absolutely, honey, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, really?
It was actually like a couple months ago, I was telling this story to some new friends of ours. And Sarah, my wife, responds. She's like, yeah, I just always knew he was going to do this. And I just knew it was going to be successful. And I'm kind of rewinding the clock and the tape in my head going, did it sound like that at the time? But she was supportive and has always been awesomely supportive. And I turned my former employer into my first client. And I've been bent towards being an entrepreneur all my life, from selling baseball cards and in high school to doing the college painter thing for a summer, just always having kind of a side business going on. And I just had this passion for helping business owners with proven, practical, simple, effective marketing and sales help. And it was shortly after I started my business, as far as who I do it for now, where I said, you know what, I'm going to take some of my own medicine, some of my own coaching, which says you can't be all things to all people. It is very hard to be a roofer and a cider and a window replacement company and a basement company and a remodeler. It is very hard to do that. This whole jack of all trades, master of none. It's also hard to be profitable that way. So I kind of put my flag in the sand and said, you know what, I am going to just work with remodelers. And started speaking at different home builder associations, got a break and spoke at the National Remodeling Show, and just kind of piece by piece, brick by brick, some might say shingle by shingle for those listening, and just kind of built my business up to what it is today.
Yeah, I like what you're talking about focusing down, doing what you do best, niching down to what's most profitable. As they say, the riches are in the niches. You can use that, Kyle. But I talk about how I was struggling when I started off in business. We were doing a lot of everything, as you say, trying to be everything to everybody. And that doesn't work. But I finally hired a coach. I got smart, brought a coach in to help me out. And the first thing he did, we took a look at where we were making our money. And we had commercial, we did residential, we did all kinds of stuff. But when we looked at that residential profit center or loss center, we realized that we were losing money in residential and making all our money in commercial. And when we dropped that residential division, focused in on the commercial. Then we added a service department to that commercial. Things just really took off. But without bringing in a coach, somebody that could really take a step back, see the forest through the trees, really take a look at some of the things that I couldn't see. I mean, it would have been a struggle. It was so much easier to have someone that can bounce ideas off and really see the things that you can't see when you're just working in the business, buried in the business every day. And they're going to get you there faster.
Yeah, from doing this for so many years, what I constantly hear is that everybody thinks that they are the only ones with problems. Like, oh man, I just can't figure this out. Why is this so hard, et cetera. And then they get around some other remodelers, get around some other roofers and realize, wait a minute, this is just a stinking hard business. Like, there's a lot of variables at play. You line up contracting next to any other small business with all of the rules, regulations, the training, certifications, keeping your employees happy, hiring new employees. You got marketing, you got your sales process, you got the pressure of signing new work, job cost reports, reviewing your financials. I could go on and on, but I don't want to depress you. But it is a hard business. It is a stinking hard business. That's why it feels hard. That's why it feels hard, guys and gals, is because it's a hard business. And when you are out there trying to figure it all out on your own, some are able to do that. And it probably will take them longer and it's going to be harder. It is just wise to sometimes take a step back and realize, wait a minute, every golfer has a coach. Wait a minute, every sports team. Wait a minute, all these CEOs, everybody has coaches, huh? Why is that? Because you can't see the forest for the trees, because as a coach, I'm able to see things that you can't because you're in the middle of it, because we all need accountability. I mean, half of what I do for you, half of what I do for my clients is simply, you know that we're meeting tomorrow. You know there's action steps that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to give you a little grief if they don't get done, and things get done quicker, let alone the expertise that I can bring to the table or any coach can – good coach can bring to the table of just helping you go faster. And you mentioned faster, but also better and stronger. So, you know, it's an investment, no doubt about that, in time and money and effort, but – to go out on your own and try to figure it all out, a lot of times that's just not wise. So to find, I mean, this can come in many, many forms. Go find a roofer that you respect and say, can I buy you dinner? Go find a contractor, even another business owner, even if it's not specifically, but somebody that you respect and say, can I buy you breakfast and just pick your brain? People are willing to mentor. People are willing to help. So it could come in that form, which will cost you a steak dinner. It can come in more professional form, which is, you know, a professional coach, you know, a solid coach. So that those are some of many of the reasons why it makes sense to engage in a coach. So yeah, if you've thought about it, if you are feeling stuck, you know, reach out, raise your hand and ask for some help.
Yeah, it worked great for me. I've always had somebody in my corner, have this same coach for over 20 years, and it just made things a lot easier to have somebody kind of going down there that you can bounce ideas off and can give you some support, also holding you accountable, feet to the fire.
And one thing that I even heard there is maybe read between the lines is confidence. Sometimes when we don't have the confidence to make a decision, like for you to close down that profit, you know, that area of your business and focus on commercial side, it's scary. That's stinking scary to do. And a lot of times a coach can give us the confidence that we need to make a major decision like that. So often when we niche down, or for you East Coasters, niche down. But when we niche down, it makes all the difference in the world. Our systems get better. Our processes become easier. Our marketing cuts through better because we're more of a specialist than a generalist. So, you know, that story that you just shared about your coach, that confidence factor that a coach can give you because it's been well thought out. You had an expert come in and give this advice. It was actually interesting when we were working on just kind of streamlining, or how are we going to articulate the coaching that you are offering to roofers, that jumped out at me so much of sitting here going, you know what? I was stagnant. I was running an okay roofing business, but it wasn't until I hired a coach, we worked on each of these different areas of our business, which is exactly what you have in your one page business plan that people can download, by the way, at where, Dave?
Well, that would be theroofershow.com.
Theroofershow.com. It wasn't until you had a coach that walked you through that and you put together that plan that your business took off. You know, and it's not by happenstance. You get outside help, you get outside expert, you cut through the clutter, you gain in confidence and clarity. And that can happen. There's just a lot of roofers out there listening to this, other remodelers, contractors that, you need to get involved in some type of group, some type of coaching, yep. Mentorship.
Yeah. It's tough to be out there all alone. You're out in the wilderness. To have somebody that can offer that, give you that clarity and also the confidence really helps.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm always talking about, I just feel the need to interject it here, is finding same thing on any podcast. Literally right before we said, hey, we're going live, I legitimately just slowed down for a second, thought to myself, okay, I'm talking to a roofer. Primarily, that's who I have in my head. A roofer who may have a few employees, maybe they have a few people in the office, maybe they don't, but I'm putting my mindset into that is the person listening to this podcast. And I'm always constantly talking about, and I don't know if I'm badgering people with it, but listen, people, you've got enough ideas. What you need is more implementation right. of ideas. You need to identify what's most important and you need to implement it. And even listening to what you've heard from us so far, maybe that is going to be your one key takeaway. No matter what else we say in the rest of this podcast, you know what? Somebody came to mind, maybe that fellow business owner, maybe that colleague of yours, maybe that coach that has been emailing you, whatever the case is, and you're actually going to reach out. You're going to pause this stinking podcast is what you're going to do. And you're going to shoot them a text. You're going to give them a call. You're going to shoot them an email. And you're actually going to take action. Let that be kind of the first step in really improving your business or taking it to the proverbial, as people like to say, next level.
It's always that next level, wherever that is. All right. Well, let's get into the meat of this thing. We're going to cover this over the next two episodes. What are we going to talk about here, Kyle?
We are going to dig in today to the initial phone call that you have with a new prospect. So somebody calls you. They are in need of a roofing job. What do you do before, during, and after that initial call? It's an area of the sales process that I think is undervalued, underappreciated. So we're going to dig into that.
What, like actually picking up the phone instead of letting it ring and ring or just rolling over into voicemail?
There is that. One of the nice things about our industry is that there's a lot of people doing it really poorly. So if we just have a little bit of our, one of my clients likes to say poop in a group. That's funny. I mean, that's just funny. Poop in a group.
That's good.
If we just got our crap together a little bit, I heard a consultant say once of just, you know, being one level above sucky, like it doesn't take a lot to stand out. You know, so yes, answering the phone, let alone a bunch of the ideas that I'm about to throw out there. I mean, if we can nail that initial first impression, initial phone call, it really can help differentiate us, set us apart, really set the tone for what doing business with us is going to be like. And then in the next podcast, we're going to dig into another area that I'm just really passionate about, which is lead tracking. Tracking how people are finding out about us so that we know in our marketing what's working and what's not working, how we're managing our sales pipeline. Can you tell me everybody very quickly, can you tell me everybody who is in your done proposal for haven't signed bucket? Do we have our sales pipeline organized from start to finish? And then how are we following up? We give up too soon when it comes to follow up. And a lot of times we're kind of one trick ponies where we called them a couple times. They didn't respond. Let's move on to the next one. There's a lot more that we can and should be doing there.
Yeah. I don't understand that. I mean, you paid all this money to get the lead. You've spent all this time going out there, making the presentation and the cost to do that. And if those people don't buy there right on the spot, you're on to the next deal. You want a fresh deal. Now, only 3 out of 10 of those people are really going to buy on the spot or in the next week. That's a statistic I made up.
What? Dave, as you know, 62% of all statistics are made up.
Wasn't that 65? But spend your time out there harvesting those deals that you've got that are open, the 7 out of 10 that haven't closed. That's where the money's at.
That's going to be.
You started that by saying, I don't know why. And I know exactly where you're going there. Like, hello, wake up, people, right? Mm-hmm. But I kind of know why, which is it comes down to a few reasons. One, they're not organized. So, you know, we have a stack of folders on our desk and have all the best intention in the world of following up with them, but the new ones get piled on top and we just start forgetting about the ones at the bottom. And we just aren't thinking clearly. We don't think about, like you were getting at, how much time, energy, and effort and money we put into these leads, and we just give up too quickly. And it's because we're busy. We need better systems. We need a better process. We need to figure out a way to delegate perhaps some of that. And also we need easy ways to follow up, which right. is also part of what we're going to dig into in that next one.
So that's next week's show. You're going to want to listen to that. We got some great stuff. You are going to sell more work by following some of these steps. But for today, let's get into that initial phone call and why it's so important.
Absolutely. So, yeah, this topic is going to be the initial phone call with a prospect. What happens before and during and after this initial call? And it's a small part of the process that we're going to kind of focus all the rest of our attention on. And there's so many different areas of our sales and our marketing system. And I would argue that sometimes I hedge my bet and say one of the most important, but I'll just be regressive today and say the most important part in the whole process is this initial phone call with a new prospect. And let me just rattle off some of the why I say that and why I feel like it's one of the, if not the most important part of the process. It's the first impression. We all know that you never get a second chance at a first impression.
That's right.
And while that's cliche, it's so true. We can't undervalue the fact that this is the first time they're truly most likely interacting with our business. And it's an opportunity for them to learn about us and who we are. It's definitely time that we can learn about them and their project. It allows you to start qualifying them, which is not a bad word. We have to make sure we're protecting our time. It's our opportunity to show them that we're organized, show them that we have a process, help start to educate them on what that process is, using five powerful words, which is, this is how we work. It allows us to, it's a time that we can elegantly lead them through the call, not in a pushy way, but in a elegant professional way. We have opportunities to get into budget on the initial phone call, what they're looking to invest in the project. It's our opportunity to track our marketing and how they found out about you. There's just all sorts of reasons why this is such an important call. So often it's undervalued. So often it's an afterthought. Are you distracted when you're making this call? I'm empathetic to the fact that all of you listening are busy, but if you hear me for one thing, when you are either answering the phone with a new prospect or calling a new prospect back, please have your full undivided attention. It'd be awesome if you're sitting behind a desk, but even if you're in your vehicle, be parked, be 100% present. You can tell from a mile away when you are talking to somebody on the phone and they're driving. You can tell very clearly if they're distracted. And this initial call, there's all sorts of little clues that might be coming up of, well, we just moved here recently, or, you know what, we can't meet on Tuesday because the kids have a baseball game. Let me just pause on those two. Like, if we're doing this initial phone call and we have our antennas up and we're focused, as a salesperson, I'm going to say, oh, where did you move from? Mm-hmm. I'm going to engage with them. I'm going to chat with them because, you know, it's funny. This world is small, and sometimes it's like, really? That's where I grew up. Or, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, I know so-and-so. Did our closing percentage just go up?
Right.
Yep.
Sure.
You know, but if we're distracted, we don't see those opportunities. Or, you know, the kids have a baseball game next Tuesday. You know, we're not able to meet at 4 o'clock. Are they in HAJBA, which is the Howell Junior Area Baseball Association that me and my family have been involved in for a long time? You know, maybe there's commonality there. So, or just flat out professionalism of, are you truly listening to them? Are you asking great questions? This is your opportunity to start differentiating yourself from all of your competitors. It's a phrase I've used for years. If you look the same, talk the same, and act the same as all of your competitors, if I'm a prospect and I'm talking to you and maybe a couple other companies and you all look, talk, and act the same, how am I going to make my decision on who to go with?
Well, that would be price, because at this point, you're just a commodity. Your prospect sees no difference between contractors. When they start off this process, most of them are thinking, hey, a roof's a roof. Everybody does the same route. You know, it's all the same. Doesn't really matter. So it's up to you to show them that you're different and how you're better and you're worth the higher price that you're charging. I'm going to throw in a plug for my sponsor, and that's Ruby Receptionists, because these guys are great. This is what they do so well is on that initial phone call. If you're letting it roll over into voicemail, you got one of those crappy answering services, they're not going to leave a message. They're going to go to your competitor where they can talk to a live person and get the answers that they're looking for, because this is what I would do. And when Ruby picks up that phone, they've got friendly, professional receptionists that make that great first impression. And it's really going to make a difference. And you can get in touch with these guys at callruby.com/roofershow. Check what they're all about. But this is something that it starts with that initial phone call, differentiating yourself, showing that you're better and you're worth the extra price, which is what it's all about. But whether it's those friendly people at Ruby or you're talking on that initial call, be sure you're focused. Be sure you've got your feet on the floor. Make sure that you pay attention and listen and smile, because all of these things come through. If you're distracted, you're not paying attention, they're going to be ticked off because they don't feel important.
No doubt about it.
I'll stop interrupting you and let you continue.
Yeah. And also, I mean, the exceptional way that you just transitioned from content to relevant plug of your sponsor, Ruby Receptionist, was a beautiful thing. I just wanted to give you a little tip of the hat there. It was solid.
That was a pro move.
Professional level podcaster. And one thing that to kind of piggyback on something you said is little things, like just little things matter. And another phrase that I use a lot is, you know, running a successful roofing business is not about like one magic bullet. It's not like, oh, if I can just figure out and implement this one thing, everything will, click into place. That's just not how it works. If you look at the top 10% of roofers out there or remodelers out there or contractors out there, they don't have some magic bullet. They have a combination of a lot of little things. And I pride myself on talking about those little things. And we've already started to talk about them, of being focused, of realizing that this initial call is more than you're giving it credit for. So cool.
And do those little things consistently, because it's just the basics. It's the basic blocking and tackling consistently that really makes the difference.
It's so interesting. I mean, I've been doing this for 11 years now, and it's – I just keep being more and more convinced of wanting to just keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, because that's how change actually happens. So I'll just say it one more time for everybody listening. Legitimately, this should give you it should fire you up, and it should also just give you some clarity and peace of mind of it's the little things.
Yeah.
And little things are hard. They're not – I mean, everybody would have them implemented if they were easy. It takes effort. It takes process. It takes dedication to be consistent with it. But I'm telling you, if you can just identify little things throughout your sales process, throughout your production process, it matters. It leads to more repeat work, referral work, higher client satisfaction. Next time you have a team meeting, you know, sit there and say, hey, we're going to take 5 minutes. What are some little things that we've done in the last week for our clients? And then you as the owner, shut your mouth and start getting them to participate and think about that. They might not have a lot of stuff this first week, but the next week they'll start, you know, ask that question consistently and start to build this. You know what we do in this business, in the culture of our business? We are all about the little things. We see a trash bin, and you know, today's Thursday, it's trash pickup day here in Brighton, Michigan. You know, trash gets picked up in the morning. It's sitting at the end of the road. Are guys thinking little thing? I'm going to drag that thing in. I'm not even going to tell them I did it. They'll know. They'll notice. You know, I see a newspaper sitting there. I pick it up. I put it, you know, I hand it to them. Little things. Communicate. Right. You know, so important. So important. So.
All right. So we've made our initial call. We've been building that know, like, and trust. We've been smiling through the call. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is for us to go backwards on that process, because we got to dig into a couple things before we go from – that kind of five minutes in, kind of before the call. So sometimes we won't get to the call. Sometimes it might be a website lead and we get their information. Sometimes we just did get a voicemail or we got a message. In those cases, taking a few minutes to do a little research before you call them back is just wise. You know, if salespeople from the 1970s or 80s had at their disposal the information that we have at our fingertips, they would sit there and just salivate at it and go, man, that would have been so cool to have that. Right. You think about it, just some of the things that you can do before you call them back. You know, click on Google and Google Maps. You'll zoom in on Google Earth. You know, is there, what's their neighborhood look like? Are there any homes that you've done in that neighborhood? That'd be a good thing to kind of think about. Is the neighborhood look well-maintained and sharp? Is it an older? Is it a newer? I mean, if you pulled up my home, think of roofing. We have a Dutch colonial. That's a unique roof. You know, if you get on the phone with me and you say, hey, I just did some Google Maps and I saw that you guys have a Dutch colonial, you know, are you concerned on, you know, how that's going to go with a roof replacement? I'm impressed. That's a professional salesperson on the other end of the line, right? So there's a lot that we can learn just by doing a little bit of clicking there. Click on LinkedIn. You know, if you do a lot of business with business owners, business people, if you just click on LinkedIn real quick, you can find out if they're an engineer. If they're not on there, you might find out that they're, you know, an artist. Do we sell and do we approach an engineer differently than we do an artist? Absolutely. Would it be helpful for me to know that before I pick up the phone just by clicking a couple times and seeing it? Absolutely. Can I see how long they've been at a certain job or if they've been in the area for a long time on LinkedIn? Very easily. Can I see how people recommend them and talk about them? Yep. Do I have any mutual connections with them? That would be interesting to know. Like we talked about earlier, one little, you know, mutual connection can lead to a ton of know, like, and trust. You know, we click on Facebook. This is a little bit more personal. We're playing with a little bit of fire here because we can find out a lot about them. But by every new prospect I talk to, if I have the opportunity to talk, you know, to do a little research, I click on Facebook. I'm going to get to know a little bit about, you know, how they roll. I'm going to get to know a little bit. It's no different than when you pull into a driveway and you see a Michigan Wolverines flag flying in the front yard. You're taking note of that. Or you see a bumper sticker that's related to some cause they support or some sports team. You're taking note of that. Right? We pay attention to that because we're professional salespeople. That doesn't mean we're just going to go in and I saw on Facebook that they were at the Detroit Tigers game last week. And I sit there and go, hey, how was the Tigers game? That's just weird. It's weird, right? So you keep things in your back pocket. But if you're a professional, if you know what you're doing, that information that you can get before you even talk to them is helpful. So those are some just ideas related to, you know, doing a little bit extra effort and research before you even pick up the phone and call them. So now as far as the actual phone call itself, what I have here is just five tips for this initial phone call. We hit on number one a little bit already, which is get in the right mindset. If you are multitasking, if you are driving, even let's say we pick up the phone and we really need to get somewhere, you know, that it's decision time. Are we actually going to have this first impression be me racing, kind of stressed, needing to get somewhere? I know that I only have 6 minutes and that's going to be their first impression. Or am I going to answer the phone and make the decision, you know, hey, I am really looking forward to talking to you about your project. I'm really glad you called. I am just about 5 minutes out from an appointment. Can we set up a time just for this afternoon for me to call you back? You know, that's what I think of. Wow, we want to make sure we're in the right mindset. And that can sound, there's a little bit of worry there in that we have somebody on the phone and we're getting off the phone. But boy, if they're not willing to even set up a time for me to talk, you know, an hour later or 2 hours later, you know, they may not be a great prospect anyway. But bottom line is be 100% focused on the call. Don't be multitasking. Don't be driving. Smile. Like you stole my thunder earlier, Dave. Smile, right? You can see a smile through the phone. Be friendly, be upbeat, be energetic. You know, people can feel that and sense that.
I'm smiling right now.
Yeah, you're right. And they can sense the opposite. When you are stressed, do I want my first impression with a remodeler to be, wow, they sound distracted, stressed, and busy?
Yeah, it sounds like they don't have the time for me or I'm just not important.
Bingo. So that's number one tip related to the initial phone call is get in the right mindset. Number two is really, I call it a project discovery sheet. so often over the years, when I ask a contractor, remodeler, hey, an initial call came in, what are you doing? Do you pull out a blank sheet of paper? And you've been doing it for a while, so you kind of know what questions you want to ask. Or do you have a process? Are you actually pulling out something that says something like lead intake form or project discovery sheets? Not so that you can sound like a robot, not so that you can sound scripted, but so that you have a little bit of an outline and a process to make sure you're asking all the questions that you want to ask. You know, some of those questions on here can certainly be the, you know, how did you hear about us? Making sure that we have identified that so we can hold our marketing dollars accountable on what's working, what's not. Have you visited our website before? What do you know about our business? Have you ever remodeled before? Have you ever had a roofing job done before? If so, tell me about the experience. You know, why do you want to have this work done now, or do you have any kind of deadline coming up? How long have you lived in the home? How long have you planned to stay in the home? There's just all these different questions that a lot of times we're going to want to ask. And when we have a sheet, a process in front of us, it can really remind us of questions to be asking versus just kind of hoping that we ask everything we want. It just helps us be better, helps us be more professional, let alone, you know, something we haven't talked about yet is a lot of times you as the owner or the, maybe even the primary salesperson might not be the first line of communication. Maybe we have somebody in the office or an office manager or somebody answering the phones. Even more important to have a clear process written out for them. And also, just in case we don't get to it later, I want to just chime in on this now. We need to practice. Like some people call it role playing. I call it batting practice. Right. Mike Trout, greatest player in baseball right now. You know what he does every week, week in, week out? Batting practice. You know, he's the best in the game, and he's honing his craft. He's practicing. We need to be doing the same practice with this initial phone call. Practice how we handle objections. Practice how we ask certain questions or set up certain topics. Mm-hmm. So that's number two, is have a process. Don't shoot from the hip. And if you go to remodel, my website is remodelyourmarketing.com. You can get a copy of the project discovery sheet that can really get you going.
I love it. Yeah, I just want to drop in here that this is where you're going to qualify your prospect to make sure that this is meeting the qualifications of your ideal customer, the people that you want to do business with. So you're not wasting your time running around meeting up with tire kickers that aren't going to buy or can't afford your services. Stop just throwing quotes out there and going on to the next deal, and spend the time with your quality customers, with your ideal customer that are going to appreciate and buy the value that you have to offer.
Time is your most valuable asset, right? It is, especially as a business owner, business leader, you have a ton of balls in the air. You have a lot of hats that you're wearing. And this initial phone call, it's another reason why it's so important, is it is a critical time to protect your time. When I ask certain questions and it's like, you know, I get a feel that they've got like 10 different companies they're calling out. I see that it's just, they're just giving me bad vibes. I've done this long enough to realize, you know, this is not our ideal client. For me to be able to, you know, have a process where I can give them a ballpark idea of where this project's going to come in at and give them that quote unquote free estimate over the phone and maybe even qualify them right there. Mm-hmm. There's so many advantages of that. Or, you know, they're looking, one of my clients just had somebody call him today, and it's just on top of my mind because he mentioned it. And this guy has a deck job that he needs done within the next couple weeks. You know, by having a good, solid professional phone call, he learned that by, you know, when are you looking to have this project completed by? If he didn't ask that question, it may not have come up, and he may have invested time going out there when he has no shot at getting this done in the next 2 weeks because he's very busy and he's got a backlog of work. So there's no doubt qualifying is not a bad word, and we've got to protect our most valuable asset, which is our time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So number one, get in the right mindset. Number two, you know, have a process, project discovery sheet. Don't shoot from the hip. Number three, what's the goal of this call? And this is one that I teach, and I'll keep it kind of brief, but it's just something that changes our kind of mindset when we're thinking about this. Certainly part of this is, even the title of this thing is turn more of our leads into paying projects. Certainly that's a huge goal of this. But when you have the mindset of, my goal in this call is to serve the person on the other end of the line, to educate them, to listen and guide them, to help them. Maybe I'm not the best fit for the project they have going on. When we have that mindset of how can I best serve this person, it just sets a foundation for a really nice approach and tone. I mean, I'm at my worst over the years. If I get a new prospect and I'm thinking about, you know, what this sale could be, and all of a sudden this prospect turns into like a dollar figure, ugh, not good, mm-hmm. right? When I'm approaching my business and interacting with new prospects or new people I'm introduced with, and I solely have the objection or the goal of objective or the goal of serving them, wow. It just changes. They want to do business with me more. They, you know, I'm able to give better advice. I'm thinking about them. I'm more empathetic. I'm, you know, giving them value. So just keep that in mind on this initial call. And this also parlays right into the, you know, the initial in-person meeting. Have that in mind of, you know, my goal is to serve this person. And it might be us. It might be, you know, I might need to refer them to somebody else. But just a great foundation for the call. Mm-hmm. Number four. Make sure there's a little bit more them talking than you talking. If it is 80% you talking and 20% them talking on this initial call, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
You're not asking nearly enough questions to understand their needs, fears, desires, expectations. And oftentimes we can do that. We can overpower the conversation. So aim, like we said earlier, 52% of all statistics are made up, right? But the conversation... Yeah, something like that. The conversation should be 70% them talking, 30% us talking. Something in that ballpark. That tells me we're asking a lot of questions. You know, people love to talk. You know, people love to hear themselves talk. And by asking a lot of questions, we're getting a lot more insight into who they are, what this project is, you know, their fears, because that previous remodeling experience went really poorly, and we understand that. So that's number four, is more them than you talking.
I call that watching your talk-listen ratio. If you're just flapping your gums, you're coming across as being nervous or unprepared, and you're not listening to what they have to say. Shut your mouth, and they will give you a roadmap on how to sell the job.
Absolutely. And then this fifth tip on the initial call is one that if you – this can be a takeaway. It's such a simple thought. But there's so many places that you can implement in this in your business. So I'll start with where we're at here with this initial call. If after every call that somebody in your office does or that you do, if you just take 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 90 seconds after the call to think to yourself, what worked, what didn't work, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What worked, what didn't work. And you actually, while your mind is still there, you can sit there and go, man, I really nailed just the relationship building. Like, man, I heard them say that thing about, you know, what they were doing this past weekend, and that turned into this long conversation about a shared connection that we have, and, you know, that helped, right? Or what didn't work? Man, I did not explain our process well. I totally skipped over it. It was an opportunity for me to kind of differentiate, show how organized we are, show that we're different, and I just totally botched that. But this whole what worked, what didn't work, if you do this at the end of an initial phone call, if you do this at the end of an in-person meeting, if you do this at the end of a proposal presentation, if you do this end of the project with your production team and said, all right, the dust has settled, what worked, what didn't work, and you take the time to do that at each of those different inflection points in the process, you can't help but get better. Yep. You can't help but improve your business, let alone you get some of your team involved in actually engaging in this thought and this question, and get them to buy into improving. It's such a simple concept, but it's huge for not only this initial call, but just overall in the business.
Yeah, we call that the postmortem. I like how you do it on every step of the process. But we did it after every job. We'd take a look at what went right, what went wrong, compare it to our estimate versus our actual, so we knew what was happening and we could correct it for the next time and do it better.
Yep. And this is similar to something we talked about earlier. The reason everybody listening to this, every time I've ever spoken in front of a group of people with that idea, every time I talk one-on-one with clients with that idea, there hasn't been a single person that said, you know, Kyle, that's kind of a dumb idea. That doesn't make any sense, Kyle. Not a single person has ever said that. You know why? Because it's a stinking good idea. But the actual amount of time that it actually happens is not nearly as much as I would like it to. And it comes down to a lot of what we've already talked about, which is not having a desire to do it, but it comes down to making it a priority, making it a focus, making it a strong part of our process, and making the time for it. I'm done. I decided about five weeks ago that I am done. For me personally, I am done saying I don't have the time or I didn't have the time. I'm done saying that because you know what? Yesterday I spent 24 minutes on Facebook and I watched a 30-minute show the other day and blah, 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 right? We didn't make the time. We didn't make the time. We have the time. We didn't make the time. So like the what worked, what didn't work. And I'll just piggyback on one other thing because you made me think of it as you were talking about, especially the post-mortem meeting or, you know, it doesn't feel very uplifting to call it post-mortem. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, sometimes those jobs just go south and they're dead. But the good ones, okay, we'll call them something a little more uplifting. But you've got to take the time to find out what worked, what didn't work, and get everybody's agreement. So next time, we're going to make those improvements, and we're just going to get better.
I understand. We might have to work on the naming of it, but just to get the team excited about it instead of walking in and going, all right. But the point of it is, the other reason we don't do some of these meetings is because when we have meetings with the team, we do them poorly. And how do you, instead of focusing on how you do them poorly, let me tell you how to do them effectively. Every single meeting should have a specific agenda. It should have a specific amount of time that the meeting is going to last. Each point on the agenda should have a specific amount of time assigned to it. And in that meeting, there should be a leader. There should be a timekeeper that tells you, yo, we got 5 minutes left in this. And there should be a person that is, I call them the scribe or the person that's capturing action steps. And that little framework, if that just piqued your interest and you're like, ooh, that would transform my meetings, click the little button on your podcast thing to rewind 30 seconds and listen to that like four times and implement that. That can be the outline of your what worked, what didn't work, or frankly, any of your team meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So we covered kind of the before, we covered the during, and then just one quick thought in the after. One clear thought and then a kind of a bonus thought. When we have gotten off that initial phone call, we've qualified him, it sounds like a good lead, we have an appointment set up for Tuesday at 3 p.m., we want to make sure that between that time we talk to them and the initial appointment that we send them an appointment confirmation email. It's not rocket science. It's another example of a little thing, but this email should just kind of say, you know, thank you so much for contacting us. It was nice speaking with you about your project. Our in-person meeting is scheduled for this time and this date. I'm looking forward to seeing you or whoever, you know, the salesperson, maybe even put their photo in there. Hey, if you have any questions between now and the time of our meeting, don't hesitate to reach out. Some people even put their personal cell in there. Feel free to call or text. In the meantime, we have a few links and resources for you to review. If you haven't done so already, take a look at our website. Take a look at this document titled What to Expect at Our First Meeting, if you could review that prior to it. Maybe a couple other links. Nothing earth-shattering, but there's just, wow, these guys got their stuff together. Wow, they've got a process. This is not their first rodeo, and it can help build know, like, and trust. It can help differentiate you. So that's just one really clear, simple thought that if you're not doing that, after that initial phone call, that might be your key takeaway from this podcast is to implement that.
Yeah, we always sent something out. It was called the pre-meeting package. And the things that we would have in there, the idea is to, one, set yourself up so they know who you are before you get there. Because some of these guys, they'll get, you know, three or four quotes. They don't even remember that they called you. But if you've got, as you say, you know, this is Joe coming out and here's a photo. What I like to do is have a link to your LinkedIn connection because they can find out some background about the salesman. So everybody should have a LinkedIn profile. We would put in a shot of the eagle view of their house because, you know, it costs $20 to do that. But we've already qualified this lead as someone that we're going to spend the time with already. So $20. But we get that information. We had a little freebie ebook on our site called How to Hire a Roofing Contractor That You Can Trust. Stick that in there so they can take a look at that. Kind of pre-qualifies you. Put your insurance information in, some other things that you can get in front of the customer. They can take a look at that so you're not spending your time when you have this meeting. They've already know who you are. You've already got a lot of that out of the way. You've built that know, like, and trust. And then you can just get, you know, get down to it in that meeting. All right, so we got to wrap this up, and I'm done with my rant and my interruptions, your rant, as you say. But Kyle, we've got next week's coming up, which is going to be great, so everybody be sure to listen into that. And you get some great free stuff on your website, but how can our listeners get more, get in touch with you?
Sure. So a couple links. One is I have a private Facebook group just full of really, really smart, helpful, friendly, I would say also just wonderful, remodelers and contractors. So if you go to remodelerscommunity.com, that'll redirect you to that Facebook page where you can apply to join that. If you like podcasts, if you just type in Remodelers on the Rise or go to remodelerstheRise.com, you'll find that. The project discovery sheet is at remodelyourmarketing.com. Or if you want to get a hold of me, my email, Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at remodelyourmarketing.com. Or what I also love to do at the end of these podcasts is say, here's my cell phone number. Not that I want you to blow me up and call me all the time. Feel free to call me if you'd like. I'm just a real person over here. But feel free to text me. I put this out at the end of podcasts, and I get these random text messages that say, hey, just listen to your podcast. Here's my takeaway. I would love more than anything else for you to text me and say, Kyle, here's my takeaway from the podcast you did with Dave. So my cell phone number is 517-902-8450. 517-902-8450. Text me your takeaway, because that's my whole point. Anytime I do these podcasts, any teaching, any coaching, anything I do is related to what is your takeaway that you're actually going to take and implement, because that's where the rubber hits the road. Frankly, that's why you're listening to this podcast. You're not listening for entertainment, although there's some of that, you know, or to generate 1,000 new ideas that you then get overwhelmed with. You're listening to this to implement. So text that to me, shoot that to me, connect with me some way, or even shoot that to Dave.
Oh, I like that idea. I'm going to steal that one. You can go to my contact page. All my information and my phone number is there. You can text me too.
Hey, Dave, don't be putting your cell phone number out there. Let this be my moment, man. You could do this in your next 100 episodes.
You're right. I said I wouldn't interrupt you again. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is just another nugget there related to the text messaging. Don't be romantic about, you know, what's worked in the past. Be willing to try new things. You know, of course it's great to talk to people on the phone, but if you want to get a hold of me, like personally me, I'm pretty busy. Like my days are scheduled. I have certain appointments, I have certain times. And if somebody calls me, chances are that I'm not going to answer. But if you text me, I'm going to get back to you a little quicker. And your homeowners, your clients, your prospects can sometimes be very similar. That doesn't mean we don't use the phone. That doesn't mean we don't, do our sales work on the phone. But it also doesn't mean we ignore ways to interact with them that might be quicker. I mean, yes, text messaging can be quicker and you can get more responses. You know what else? Facebook message. You know what else? If you're connected with them on LinkedIn, send them a LinkedIn message. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. And I think that's almost a good segue into what we're going to talk about next week, which is how do we follow up with prospects. So, you know, the biggest thing there is, I think sometimes we implement or we hear an idea and it's like, I don't know if I want to do that. When you implement something in your business, it doesn't mean that you're going to do it forever and ever. Amen. You have the opportunity to try things, test things, see if it works. So literally right now you could go and look at two prospects. One, let's make it real simple. One prospect that you need to follow up with that maybe you've called once or twice, shoot them a text message and see what happens.
Well, that's some great stuff, but I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm not on the clock here, am I, on this podcast?
As a coaching client of mine, I just will try to give you more and more value, whether it is in our one-on-one coaching, Dave, or whether it is through a podcast. I will not charge you more than $250 for that idea, I promise.
Now that's value. So everybody, be sure to tune in next week. We're going to have some great stuff. We're going to continue this conversation. And until then, Kyle, I will talk to you later, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you haven't downloaded my free one-page business plan, check it out on my website at theroofershow.com. You can download it for free, but it will get you started on the process of planning. It just asks you 8 questions that you need to answer. You can fill it out on a fillable PDF, but that will give you a pretty good roadmap of where you're going with your business, what you want to do, and how to get there. So check it out. Pretty simple. But until next week, catch us on The Roofer Show.